the GM live from Bridgestone Arena today, Floyd Reese. The Preds play the Sharks tonight. So yesterday, Mel Kiper Jr. released his mock draft. We talked about it at length. He's got the Titans taking a running back, which I think neither of us agree with. But did you see he was on all the shows? So he was on NFL Live, and he was on SportsCenter, and he was on First Take, and he was – and that's what they do.
The car wash. They call it the car wash.
And you've been through it many a time.
Yes.
And they put something out, mock draft, and then they send Mel Kiper through everything so that they can talk about the mock draft. And it basically is – I mean, it's basically like, you know, a drug for the football addicts who – are like, oh, give me. Let's talk about this mock draft that we haven't even been to the combine yet, but let's talk it out. And I got to be honest, it got me all fired up. The Mel Kiper stuff yesterday got me so excited, and it got me looking at the different stuff, and Mel had a conference call, and he talked about the Titans, and it got me fired up maybe because, Floyd, the Titans are in a weird spot this year. The last couple years, when it's come to talking about the Titans in the draft and in free agency, we always had either the number two pick or the number one pick or the number five pick to look at and say, okay, what are the Titans going to do here? Well, now they don't have that. They're at 25, and they're a playoff team coming off of a playoff win against a really good Kansas City team. And I'm trying to think now, we got to think about both sides of the equation, draft and free agency. So here are the Titans, and if they're trying to compete in 2018, take the next step to be with Jacksonville and Pittsburgh and New England, what's more important for us to be talking about and focusing on, draft or free agency?
Well, who's in the draft, who's in free agency? I mean, that's the whole key. It's not which area you want to concentrate on. It's where the best players are. And, I mean, if you look at – let's just pick receiver. That seems to be a position we often talk about. I mean, the receivers in the draft are slim, and we know that, until later on. And you look at free agency, Jarvis Landry's already been franchised. I'm going to guess the other two receivers are going to be franchised. So there's no receivers in free agency.
So you're basically stuck with like a second-round guy out of Memphis who had a decent season but it doesn't jump off the charts, or Jordan Matthews, a guy who has pretty good potential as an NFL player but has never been able to stick anywhere, has never been able to stay healthy, and hasn't always been able to catch the ball.
And I think it's, you know, that's what it boils down to. So then you say, okay, is it worth it to bring in a player that's not top of the line that will give us some depth – but not really, you know, the production we're looking for? Or am I better off going to another position or trading? I can trade and find somebody out there that might be of value and available, and maybe you can trade one of the picks for him. Or, you know, you've got to look elsewhere. You've got to hope that Corey Davis and Taylor and those guys come in, and they're the answer. Because, I mean, if you look at – you know, you look at our receivers again, for example. I mean, the number one receiver for us last year is not under contract, you know. And what are you going to do with him? You going to sign him and bring him back, or are you going to let him go out there? Or, you know, just what are you going to do? Tough. I mean, it's hard. And yet there's nothing you can do about it. You know, it's not like you can go ahead and make a receiver along the way and, all right, this is the guy I want. Well, guess what? He's not there.
I feel like we'll know more about this like in a couple weeks when the franchise tag deadline passes, because then we will know who's actually going to be a free agent.
Right.
You know, right now, you're here at the – we don't know. Like Sammy Watkins, for example, we don't know if he's going to be franchise tagged or not.
Right.
And so if he's not, then maybe he's in play for the Titans, although $16 million for Sammy Watkins is really ridiculous. But I agree. And I think the thing here, to me, I look at the draft as more of an important aspect for the Titans this year, only because they need young, fast players. And I feel like you really don't get a lot of young, fast players in free agency. Like, they need pass rushers. Well, it's really hard to find a good pass rusher in free agency. They need fast linebackers, like Jacksonville has. Well, where did Jacksonville get their fast linebackers? In the draft. So I think right now, if I'm... You always talk about this, about how when you're 3-13, it's a lot easier to get to 8-8 than it is to get from 8-8 to 10-6.
Oh, absolutely.
Or from 9-7 and in the divisional round. I mean, we talked about how far the Titans are away from the Super Bowl, and yet they were two games away from the Super Bowl this year. And it's going to be hard. They're going to need to draft, and they're going to need to hit. This is a critical year for them to hit in the draft.
Well, and this is what the way the system is set up. You know, these last couple of years, like you said, we've been picking top five, and that gives you so much ammo, either with getting a great player, and you should get a great player there, or you have enough cash, you know, draft cash that you can move down, pick up a ton of picks, and, you know, still get some of the guys you want. Well, when you're going to 25, all those things are gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now you're back there with the rest of the guys. And so you have to find a way to pull a rabbit out of a hat, get somebody at 25 that's going to come in and help you. And to do that at a position of need is really hard. So, I mean, it's that, but that's the way the system's set up. You made the playoffs. Guess what? Forget those top five picks. Now you get bottom five picks. So
I think, again, the number one key that you got to hope for if you're the Titans is that the new coaches will coach better than the last coaches, so that Davis will be better and Taylor will be better.
Got to be better.
And that Mariota will be better and Henry will be better, like in blitz pickup and things like that. Because if you can get all those guys just a little bit better, you're that one win better from 9-7 to 10-6. Now you're hosting a home playoff game as opposed to going on the road in the playoffs. Not that any of that's guaranteed with the schedule the Titans are going to have. There's going to need to be some luck involved, but I think that's the number one thing you have to hope for. Number two, the draft. Number three, I think, is trades. You know, I thought back to a couple years ago when the Titans spent some money on in free agency when they brought in Ben Jones and they brought in some of these guys. You know, they're not a Jonathan Cyprian away from the Super Bowl. They're
right.
Like a dynamic edge rusher, and that's not – you don't get that in free agency. But maybe the trade market. NFL.com has this article up that's basically about an NFL trade tsunami and how maybe this offseason it could be defined by trades. And they have a list of players of guys who could be traded. Like, for example, Jarvis Landry of the Dolphins is a trade candidate on this list. And then there are a couple guys that kind of stuck out to me. And I say, you know, those – I could see it. Emmanuel Sanders in Denver. And this is NFL.com. The Denver Post wrote that Emmanuel Sanders could be on the trading block after what was one of his lesser seasons, and executive John Elway was noncommittal when asked about the future of his highly paid wide receiving duo. This feels like an offseason where everything is considered in Denver, with Elway looking down every avenue possible to attempt to improve his team. One of the receivers in Denver? I think that could be a nice fit. I don't know those guys very well, but they're productive, winning receivers who I think want to be on a decent team with a decent quarterback.
Yeah, I think that, again, that will boil down to the system. You know, if you look at, I mean, he would come in and take Taylor's spot, for example, from a size skill set standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, then what happens to Taylor? You know, was that a bad pick? So, you would have to go through and analyze all those things. But he is not the Corey Davis-style receiver. He's the other way. And so, you know, are they looking for more Corey Davis-type guys? And if they are, then, you know, you would probably be more interested in the other receiver there.
Which would cost you a whole lot more.
But I wouldn't be interested in him anyway.
Another name NFL.com has on the list, Tyrann Mathieu with the Arizona Cardinals, the Honey Badger. And it says, quote, "No player suited up for more snaps than the Honey Badger in 2017, a remarkable achievement after he returned from his second torn ACL. By the way, I already know second torn ACL is not going to be something the GM likes. That would seemingly assure his spot on the 2018 Cardinals roster, especially after an uptick in his play last season, but his contract and the departure of Bruce Arians make it a complicated decision. Mathieu gets $19 million guaranteed over the next 2 years if he's on the roster March 14th, and that could inspire the Cardinals to renegotiate his contract or examine the trade market for him, especially with talented safety Buda Baker waiting in the wings." $19 million's a lot over 2 years, but Honey Badger would make the Titans better.
Especially for his safety. I mean, he is one of those guys that has to be in the perfect system. You know, he is not an every down, every snap, every position safety. He is kind of a special guy in a special place, used a special way. And when he is, I mean, he can be a special player. We've seen that. He's got tremendous skill set. But he's not, you know, he's 5'9 or whatever he is. I mean, he's not a real big guy. And so, you know, you say, well, I want to make him an in-the-box safety. No, you don't. You know, well, I want to make him a covered safety. Well, maybe. You know, how fast is he? I don't know. And the injury factor, I mean, his career has been all in or all out. You know, he's either going to play the most plays of anybody in the league or miss the entire year. You know, it seems like there's no in-between with him.
Isn't that a risk you could take for a seventh if
they're just sure.
Now, the thing is, you got to guarantee him $19
million. Absolutely. Yeah, that's fine. For nothing, sure.
Okay, so there we go. That's one trade possibility. I am, you know, Vinny Curry of the Philadelphia Eagles is also on this list. I think we can get to that in a second. But I'm just looking at, you know, the Mel Kiper stuff yesterday. It got me fired up. We got a big hockey game tonight to talk about. We got some college basketball. By the way, did you see how many people were at the Pittsburgh game last night?
I didn't even pay any attention.
Kevin Stallings, who, by the way, is on pace to finish 0-16 in the ACC this year, had 2,400 people in attendance at Pitt's basketball game yesterday. Vanderbilt, who's awful, is averaging like 10,000 a game. 2,400. We got a lot to get to today, so let's open up the phone. 615-737-1025 and Twitter, at Jared Stillman. But again, the thing is, what are you more focused on with the Titans this year? Draft, free agency, or trades? I kind of feel like free agency is last. I don't know if I should feel that way.
I'm not sure. I mean, to me, just off the top of my head, have not studied. We haven't had the combine yet. We haven't. I mean, this is going to be one of those years where you get what's out there. I mean, there and I'm not sure.
I hate hearing that.
I'm not sure it's going to be great in every area. But the areas that it is good, it's really going to be good. Fortunately, I mean, it looks like guard and center is going to be one of those areas, which we're going to need a guard, and I'm okay with all that. But guards don't score many points.
So we're off and running. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and on Twitter, at Jared Stillman. I am proud of so much, especially my clothes. That's right, because I'm with my friends at Authentically American. Authentically American is perfect for you if you're a business owner. Are you a business owner and you want to be proud of your clothes and the clothes your employees are wearing? Call my friends or visit them at AuthenticallyAmerican.us. Authentically American has that high quality, made in the USA quality. High quality tees, polos, hats, jackets, Oxford socks, vests, and much more made in the USA. Whether you have 5 employees or a Fortune 500 company, Authentically American's got you covered with low to no minimum so that small business owner can support made in the USA. When you order, Authentically American will donate 10% of all sales. No games there. 10% of all sales to veteran charities. Authentically American is so American that their website, once again, is AuthenticallyAmerican.us. That's because it just makes sense for a proud American company to be .us. That's high-quality, made-in-America stuff. That is, if you're a business owner, the place to be business owner, whether you've got a big company or a small company. It's AuthenticallyAmerican.us, AuthenticallyAmerican.us. It's Jared and the GM, live from Bridgestone Arena on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Harold Landry, we've talked about him from Boston College. If he's still around, he'd be a good one because he's a bit undersized. He missed the last month or so of this last season with an ankle injury, so his stats weren't big, and that might make teams step away from him a little bit, so he might fall. But he's one of those guys that does have that burst to get to the quarterback after he's disrupted by a tackle that pushes him, or after he falls down over somebody's legs, gets back up and go and finishes the play. Doesn't just pressure, but he gets home. And that's the kind of a guy I think that if he falls there could work. Now, being undersized, I think, would be an advantage for him coming to a team coached by Mike Vrabel, because Vrabel brings in that Bill Belichick of do your job.
That was Trevor Maddich talking about Harold Landry at Boston College on our show the other day. And Landry's a pass rusher, Floyd. And you heard how Trevor said he's undersized, but he can get to the quarterback. He might be a guy that's there at 25. And again, as we're talking about what the Titans need, Chris Sanders texted me and said they need impact players. And it's hard for me to see impact players on this year's free agent market if Jarvis Landry is getting $16 million on the tag.
Well, yeah. I mean, the league is smart enough to know that, you know, if you've got an impact player, especially now when everybody's got the cap money, you keep them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't let those guys get free, whether you have to franchise them, you know, sign them to a new contract, pay them more money than you want. And that's part of the problem we're going to have, because if there is somebody that's out, say Watkins hits the market. I mean, his $14 million he thought he was going to get ends up being $17 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now do you want to pay him that? You want to guarantee him $60 million for 4 years and with all the injuries that he's had, and all of a sudden, you know, he doesn't look quite as good. So, but that's, I think they're going to have to work their way through that, and it's going to be hard on everybody, because the free agency market is, I think, has historically dried up a little bit on a year-to-year basis, like what Philadelphia did last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to get many chances like that, you know, where you can bring a couple of guys in that truly fit what you want to do, that are good players, you know, on and on. But they hit it and hit it right. And if there were no franchise tags, for example, this year, maybe you could pull off the same thing. But unfortunately, I think there's going to be a bunch of those guys get franchised.
So we got the draft, we got free agency, we got trades. And the Titans need some impact players, as Chris Sanders texts me, and I think Chris is so right. I think everybody would agree with that. Let's go to the phones here on Jared and the GM, live out of Bridgestone Arena, where the Preds take on the Sharks tonight. Steve is going to kick us off today. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, guys? So I've been listening, and I don't like the Emmanuel Sanders deal there. For one, I believe he's 30 years old, and like what Floyd's been saying and Chris, you need impact players. If you go out in free agency, you got to get someone that's going to absolutely change this team. I don't like the fact that he would take Tywan Taylor's spot either. I feel like he was underutilized last year. At the beginning of the season when Davis was out, Taylor was playing pretty good, you know, with limited chemistry with Mariota. Mm-hmm. I like our receiving corps. I feel like when it comes to the draft, we need defense, defense, defense. And with free agency, there's just not that many big names out there, in my opinion, that have the production year in and year out that we should go out and spend big money on.
I would agree with you, Steve. Thank you for the call.
I mean, you're going to have to. Whoever you bring in, you're going to overspend for. Yeah, I think you have to – certain things you have to kind of prepare yourself for. One of them is you're going to have to overpay for them. And because you do overpay, unless you're really, really lucky and he really, really fits your scheme and all those kinds of things, when it's all said and done, you're probably going to be a little bit disappointed. Now, will he fill a role and fill a position for you? Yes, he will. Will it look better in the win-loss record if you're lucky and you hit on him? Yeah, it should. But, you know, if you bring in an Emmanuel Sanders, they say, and I kind of agree with the caller, but if you bring in Emmanuel Sanders and he doesn't, you know, you win another game, but he catches 40 balls, you're probably not going to be happy with paying him, you know, $14.5 million or whatever it is you're going to have to pay him.
Well, I also think it's no secret that the one team that's over the cap going into next season right now is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
Well, who's the best team in football right now?
Yeah.
Because they paid the money, but they're overpaying guys, and that's okay because you won a Super Bowl doing it. I don't think the Titans, because the Titans have the ability to be good for a long time if they hit it right in the draft. I don't think the Titans want to overpay on guys, especially knowing they're going to have to overpay to keep Taylor. They're probably going to have to overpay to keep Marcus. So, to me, there's a real fine line. I think I would go draft as the number one route. If you hit on four or five picks this year with two or three impact guys, you will be in good shape. You make a couple trades and be good. Then free agency. Let's go to Jack, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. What's up, Jack?
Well, I have a question here for Floyd.
Yes, sir.
If memory serves me correctly, one of the well-known predictors is Mel Kiper Jr. And didn't he work for you at one time?
You know what? I worked with Mel.
Oh.
On ESPN. I worked with him. Was he
not an employee of the Titans?
No. Not to my knowledge.
Has he ever been an employee of anybody's team?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh. Well, there was a rumor out there some time ago that he did work for the Titans and, back, I don't know, when you first got here in the scouting department.
Yeah,
and,
no. He
thank you, Jack.
Again, he did for Webster or some of those guys, but he didn't work for the Titans while I was there.
I mean, my guess is he didn't work for Rustin Webster, because we would have known if Mel Kiper was working for the Titans.
Yeah.
But Mel Kiper, he'd take a pay cut to go work for those guys. I mean, Mel Kiper's got to be making boatloads of money, right? He's got the best job in all of sports.
I mean, I'll tell you what, he took a cottage industry and turned it into what it is now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's been doing this for 30 years or something, you know. I mean, he's been doing it a long time, but he used to write a book, you know, and it would get printed up in a magazine, and it's like all the magazines you see now about draft, but he was kind of the first one to really get into it. And he's had his ups and downs with guys in the league, and, you know, he's been in fights, and he's been in this and that and the other. And the thing you appreciate about Mel is, whether you like it or not, he'll give you his opinion now.
And the best part, he's got the best job in sports, because everybody's got to hear what Mel Kiper's going to say. I'm one of them. I got to hear what Mel's going to say, even though in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter what Mel says. I got to hear. And I'm one of those guys. Mel comes on TV at the Gym Sports Center. I walk over. I kind of look up to it. And, I mean, that's how he is. And it doesn't matter if he's wrong. Oh, I have a first-round grade on that guy. He turns out to be a total bust. Doesn't matter.
Well,
you know, he's really not going to be a good player. They reached in the first round on him. I can't believe that they went and took him, and he goes to the Hall of Fame. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, they end up with, you know, the guy that took him, whoever that guy is the only one that really suffers the consequences. Everybody else, whether they liked him or didn't like him, you know, in a month from now, 2 months from now, nobody's going to remember it anyway.
Wasn't it Mel Kiper? We looked at it. Like, we looked at all the grades for the Titans 2015 draft, where 2 seasons later, only one pick was still on the team in Marcus. And they were like, B+. Vasily is up next here on Jared and the GM, 615-737-1025. What's up, Vasily?
Hey, guys. So I completely agree with everything y'all said, which is a first. But like y'all said, the talent that's out there in free agency, it's just too expensive. But my question is for the GM here, what do you think Vrabel wants? Is he looking for experienced, reliability that you would get in a free agency, or is he looking for, you know, young guns, players you can mold? And I'll hang up.
That's a really great question that we probably need to evaluate.
That is a great question. And to be honest with you, I don't know the answer, but I'm going to guess for you that if he had his druthers, he'd rather have a guy with a little bit of experience. And that's only because of where he's come from. And that's kind of been their philosophy. You know, you don't need to be a 12-year vet, but it'd sure be nice if you understood the league and were able to adapt. I'm going to guess, again, he's going to do some things from a learning standpoint that are going to be a little bit more intricate than what we've done in the past, and force those guys to think more and do those kinds of things. And because of that, you'd like somebody that at least has been through it a year or two, so they understand what's going on.
That's going to be tough, though, because, again, we've gone over the free agent market. Anybody that you're really going to want to have is probably too expensive. I mean, you don't want to get to where you're paying somebody that's a $4 million player, $8 million, just because you want someone who's got
experience. But, I mean, what they need to do is they've got to pull out a Kevin Mawai. They've got to pull out a Chris Hope. They've got to pull out guys like that. Not Harry Douglas. That could come in and maybe not be a superstar for you. You know, they're not going to be an all-pro, but they're going to be a real solid starter that allow you to do all the things that you want to do.
Well, what about a guy, and I'm not using him specifically, but like a Brian Cushing type guy who is a decent player that got released because he makes too much money, being someone that you can bring in? I'm not using Cushing specifically because I don't think it's a fit, and I think Cushing is as dirty as they come. But what about that kind of guy that's been cut this week because he obviously doesn't fit in that team what they want to do?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I think, you know, guys that are older and have been through some of the injuries and issues that he's been through. But you know what? Mike will know him better than anybody else. And if Mike brings him in, then he'll fit. I mean, Mike will know exactly what he can and can't do. So we'll have an inside track on all that anyway.
615-737-1025. We'll get right back to your calls, plus a couple of tweets I want to get to at Jared Stillman, J-A-R-E-D, blue check mark. Let you know it's me. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, there's a couple guys that people are tweeting about that I want to get Floyd's take on. And we're back to your calls in the draft. But at some point this hour, I want to get to what Peter LaViolette said this morning about Elli Tolvanen, because I haven't really heard Peter talk about Tolvanen, and he did, and it was interesting, so we'll get to that too. But we got a ton of stuff to get to. It's Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At the pick number 25 with the Tennessee Titans and Ronald Jones a second. He was as valuable to that team as anybody, including Sam Darnold. He had a better year. Smooth runner, great kid, hard worker. I think if DeMarco Murray moves on and you have a guy like Derrick Henry, you need a complimentary guy, and Ronald Jones would be that guy in Tennessee at pick number 25.
Mel Kiper Jr. yesterday on ESPN, he's got the Titans taking Ronald Jones the second in the first round of his latest mock draft. Caleb on Twitter says Anthony Miller from Memphis, the wide receiver, would be a great get. He's quick, fast, catches everything, and he's got that dog in him. Anthony Miller, a 5'11", 190-pound receiver, at least that's what he's listed at. When he goes to the combine, he'll get the official status. But 5'11", 190. He was a All-American Athletic Conference team, so not to be confused with All-American. All-American Athletic Conference team, second teamer last year, but he really came on this season. I mean, I think that's what John Robinson's got to do, is he's got to find every guy like that and figure out which one's a good fit for the Titans and which one's not.
I agree 1,000%. I mean, I think that's exactly right. And the Miller kid was productive. I mean, mm-hmm. He made plays now. That would be a giant positive. I mean, the problem always is with those guys that are down the line a little bit is when do you take them? When can you get them? You know, because you're sitting there in the second, and the best guard on the board is at the second. So you're forced to take him, and you're praying that this kid drops to the third and he goes three picks after you've taken the guard. You know, now is that good or bad? And that's what you always go through at that point in time in the draft.
It's always tough because you look at some of these guys, and we don't know who's going to be the next great star. I mean, I go back to the Harold Landry stuff that we were talking about, the linebacker from Boston College.
Right.
Well, he's an undersized pass rusher, and you don't like the idea of an undersized pass rusher necessarily, but Ozzie Newsome took a chance on an undersized pass rusher, and Terrell Suggs has been a pretty good player since then.
Yeah, I mean, and the size doesn't bother me as much as you have to. If you lack the size, the height, and the weight, but still have some length, that's okay. But you've got to be a jet. I mean, you've got to fly. You know, you can't be a 4.85, 4.9 guy and be that outside rush guy. You just never get there. I mean, if you're going to be that guy, you've got to be a, you know, 4.5 kind of guy.
So when you're taking your notes next week on the combine, when you're watching the drills and taking those detailed notes that we decided during the last commercial break that I decided.
40 would be important.
So 40 on Harold Landry is something that Floyd Reese will watch for on the combine.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go to the phone. 615-737-1025. Alex is up next here. Jared, the GM, live out of Bridgestone Arena where the Preds play the Sharks tonight. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. I'd like to talk about the draft. Like, first of all, I think some of these analysts that, like, have us taken certain players, I don't think they've ever watched the Titans game. But my main point is I'm a little bit worried about this draft because I'm worried – Vrabel's going to have a blind spot for Ohio State players, and it turns out he's going to pick a player and later in the draft, there's another player that turned out to be a better, maybe even a Hall of Famer. Like, I'm worried he's going to take, like, a player like Arden Key or Sam Hubbard, when I think, clearly, like, Harold Landry's a much better prospect. Like, the Ronald Jones thing, in fairness to Mel Kiper, I think Ronald Jones will be a good player, but we don't need a running back. I think our top two options are pass rusher and offensive guard, and I'm worried that it's going to turn into, like, the later years of Jeff Fisher where he drafted, like, average players and, like, we could have had better players. And it's,
yeah, Alex, yeah. Alex, you just hit on a lot of things, and I appreciate your call. And the one thing that stood out to me that I actually disagree with him on, Trevor was on the show Tuesday. And, right. I mean, nobody – honestly, I don't think anybody knows more about these draft prospects than Trevor when he comes on Tuesday. But we asked him about defensive linemen that can get to the quarterback. And he brought up three guys from Ohio State, one of whom didn't even start, who Trevor thinks are going to be legit get to the quarterback guys from Ohio State. And the difference from where he thinks that Vrabel might have a blind spot for the Ohio State guys, I think Vrabel, and because Kerry Combs is on the staff, they'll be able to get the truth on these guys. Are they bad guys? Are they good guys? Can they play? Are they really 6'2"? Are they really fast? Are they all those things? Vrabel will get to the bottom of it. He'll know the answer, and then John's the one who's got to decide.
Well, yeah, what the real benefit you get from it is that with somebody like Combs, and I'm sure Mike will get the scoop, but and this happens to every – Urban has to be careful that he doesn't alienate 31 teams helping one team, you know. So there may be some little things that he'll give Mike along the way, but as far as an edge, I mean, he just can't do that. You know, that puts him in a tough spot. But with the secondary coach that was there, that was with those guys for 2, 3, 4, however many years, I mean, he will know them better than anybody else. So when he gets there, he'll be one of those guys that will be able to say, we'll be able to look at what we have and say, hey, this guy is better than that guy. And it'll have to, you know, you're hoping it's pretty reliable. So, I mean, I think that will be a giant resource. And I think, you know, I don't – the hard thing about drafting these guys that you don't spend a lot of time with, you don't know, is you can measure everything about them. But, you know, what you can't put a tape on, the heart and the head and things like that. Well, if you know people, then that'll make the difference. And that's where Mike will have an advantage with his Ohio State background, with the guys he's got on the staff, you know, that will come in and be able to give it to him just as straight as you can get it.
I just love the stories of guys that, like, where the connection is to find out who is, what is. I mean, you brought it up last week when you said you fell in love with Keith Bullock because Syracuse had made the Music City Bowl, and you went to practice, and that was where you saw Keith Bullock because they practiced here all week.
Yeah, and well, I had watched him play, so I knew he was a good player. But again, you know, it like a place like Syracuse, you would go up there and scout Syracuse. But as far as sitting and watching a practice, a lot of times only let you watch so much, you know, watch 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour of it, whatever it may be, and then they kind of run you out. And so, you know, you get to see him, you get to see him move, you get, but at the Music City Bowl, I mean, you could go down there and sit and watch him all day long. You could watch him come out, you know, how he's warming up, how's he reacting with the other players, you know, what's he doing after practice? Is he the first one off the field? Is he hanging out? What's he doing? So, you know, I always thought that experience helped us draft Keith.
Well, and then, like, the story that gets me every time is of Dick Raybine, the quarterback coach of the New England Patriots, who passed away, I think, before the draft or before the season. But Dick Raybine was the one who, I think, interviewed Tom Brady. And he went to Belichick and was like, this guy is a winner. He's the guy we need. He's perfect for our locker room. And Dick Raybine really went to town for Brady. And I remember hearing that because Dick Raybine had a heart attack and never got to see Brady become Brady, but he's the reason that Belichick was focused in on Brady because Dick Raybine had fallen in love with Tom Brady.
Right. I think Dick was the one that probably pushed Tom more, longer, harder than anybody. And I mean, he, as the old saying goes, he stood on the table for him and almost didn't get him at that. Wait till the sixth round. But, you know, he had screamed and pounded and cried long enough. And in the sixth round, I think Scott finally said, okay, fine, let's take him. So,
well, I wish that you had hired Dick Raybine to be your quarterback's coach so that you would have drafted Tom Brady in the sixth round to back up Steve McNair.
I'd worked with Dick in Detroit. He was a great guy. Great guy.
It is sad when they tell the story about what happened, but I guess Brady's, like, really close with his family now. But that's just the thing when it goes into the draft that, you know, it's where's the connection? How does John Robinson find some of these guys? Because, again, the Titans are so close to being good, and they're so close to being 5-11. And so a good draft gets you to 11-5, and a bad draft gets you to 5-11. And that's why, with a free agent market being what it is and everybody having cap space, I'll look at right now this draft and just how big it really is. 615-737-1025. The Preds are back in action tonight against San Jose. Peter Laviolette this morning on the morning drive had, I think, the first time I've really heard him talk about Ellie Tolvanen, but it was very interesting because after the Olympics, everybody is all in on Ellie Tolvanen coming to the Preds and helping them out. Hear what Peter had to say about that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Coach, your job at nearing the trade deadline is to constantly be evaluating pieces of the puzzle, and Ellie Tolvanen looks like he's going to be a part of this team at some point later on down the stretch.
You know, those are probably questions that I can answer better once he's here and he plays some games for us. So I think you're right. At some point, we'll see him. I can tell you that his strengths are the fact that he's a skilled player. I mean, he can make plays. He sees the ice well. He has poise and patience. He has a terrific release with his shot. This is just stuff that we've seen, you know, whether it be some game footage at a KHL or certainly the Olympics, watching the shifts that get cut of him.
That was Peter Laviolette this morning on Morning Drive. And it was interesting because, you know, like Peter's never going to put a bunch of expectations on somebody. But the fans, the expectations after what Ellie Tolvanen's done in the KHL and subsequently the Olympics, where we can all watch him on TV, has everybody saying, can't wait for Tolvanen. He's going to come in and he's going to light it up and he's going to do all of this and he's going to. And I'm kind of like, I mean, I hope you're right, Pred fan. Like, I hope you're right that Tolvanen does come up and Tolvanen does light it up. But I mean, the NHL is a little bit better than the KHL, and it's a lot better than the Olympics. So it's not going to be that easy, maybe, per se. And then Peter was also, this morning on Morning Drive, I think did a great job of limiting the expectations by basically setting what he thinks Tolvanen is for this team.
We're constantly looking at that and trying to make sure that, we're not displacing too much of what we already have here. So Toivonen and getting here, like I said, when he gets here, he's going to be coming into probably the highest level of hockey that he's ever played. And, you know, the good thing is that our team's in good shape and done enough good things to be at the point where we are, that he can come in and not have to, anybody, I guess, coming in, not have to worry about being the guy that's in the forefront, but just coming in and being a contributing piece. And whether that be Toivonen or whether that be I like Mike Fisher.
Floyd, what do you think about the expectations for this kid? Whenever they call him up after the KHL season, they sign him to the deal, they get him in here, and he's going to probably play for the playoff run. What do you think, one, about Peter limiting the expectations, but two, what the actual expectations should be?
Yeah, I mean, I think limiting the expectations is smart. You know, what should they be? I mean, I don't think we know. I mean, we don't – you certainly, and you said it yourself, you certainly can't judge by what went on in the Olympics.
No.
And so you say, okay, where's – you know, what's the KHL? What do you draw from that? I don't know. But it's certainly not the NHL. And I think he indirectly said it when, you know, he says we can't – we have to be careful about who we displace here, meaning that, yeah, all, you know, Fisher and all these guys are really good, but – we've got a pretty good team now, and the smartest thing might be to not disrupt much getting ready for the playoffs. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know my track history judging the Preds and the way they do things. I mean, it's hard for these young guys to come in and play right away.
They're not as desperate they have been.
Yeah, and before. They haven't, you know, they haven't been quick to bring in the young guy and just stick him out there and say, okay, let's see you improve kind of thing. They'd say, fine, we'll send you to Milwaukee and play in Milwaukee for a while and, you know, we'll do it that way.
I mean, the last guy –
fine with me.
Well, the last guy I can remember them kind of just jamming into the lineup, I mean, outside of, like, the injury need for Freddie Gaudreau last year, but, like, really just calling up and jamming into the lineup was when they did it to Kevin Fiala 2 years ago or 3 years ago in the Chicago series when Fiala was, like, 115 pounds playing in that Chicago series, and he was totally overmatched. I mean, there was no way Fiala was going to really – I think Fiala had actually one really good look at a goal, and he just missed. And, like, Fiala's not ready for something like that. Was not ready then. Now, 3 years later, Kevin Fiala's totally ready. And I look at Tolvanen and I kind of think it would be wild to think that they're going to call this kid up after drafting him, you know, 10 months after drafting him and 3 days after signing him to an entry-level contract, that Toivonen's going to come in here and just light it up, you know. And I think the fans think that's going to happen. And I want the fans to kind of calm down a little bit, because if you get like that, if you think, oh, yeah, when this guy comes in, he's going to light it up, then he gets in there, he doesn't do anything, you're going to get really upset really quickly, and that's what I think they want to keep from having happen.
Well, and the truth is, if he comes in on a team as good as we think this team is and is able to do that, he's either a Hall of Famer or this team isn't as good as we thought it was. Because let's face it, there's no, you know, right now you look at it and you say there's no real spot for anybody to come, you know, a guy that's never played to come in, and whose job is he going to take?
Especially a guy we have no idea how good he is in his own end.
Yeah.
Everybody says, well, I mean, look at the little highlight cut-up films, Jared. Look at all those goals he scored. I'm not against that. But how good is he defensively? Because if you put Tolvanen in the lineup and you take Austin Watson out, now you've taken out a really good penalty killer, a guy with a lot of experience, and despite his limitations offensively, Watson can put the puck in the net. So now you take Watson down, because I think the spot that they kind of rotate Salamaki and Aberg in, that's going to be Mike Fisher's spot. So that fourth line wing, Mike Fisher's going to take that, be the fourth line center, and probably move Colton Sissons over to the fourth line wing. So now you're at the point where if you put Tolvanen in there, you're taking down Austin Watson, or you're taking down somebody who has Stanley Cup final experience and can play in their own end and is not a liability for a guy who, we'll see.
Yeah, maybe.
And I don't think Peter's too comfortable with that.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think they'll bring him in and look at him, and, yeah, I mean, it'll all be good. But, I mean, let's face it, like we said, this is a pretty good team, and who are you going to take out? Who are you going to change? Well, you know, maybe we got to be careful with all that right now. Let's do it next year.
Although I will say this, if he is going to play in the playoffs and if he is an elite goal scorer and can come in, I don't think there's a better place to start than on a line with Colton Sissons and Mike Fisher. You know, at least you know sure. That he's surrounded by guys that would be able to help a little bit. So tonight the Preds take on the Sharks here at Bridgestone Arena, 7 o'clock. Pekka going for win number 300. It would make him the 34th goalie in the history of the NHL if he can get to 300 tonight. Which would be nice for him to do in front of the home fans.
Oh, it'd be great. That'd be great for the fans and great for him. I mean, 34th guy, and you think about it, and you hear me talk about the Hall of Fame in the NFL all the time. How many people you think have stood in the net in the NHL?
Exactly.
I mean, there's thousands and thousands of that. And here he's going to be 34. That's pretty good.
Meanwhile, Floyd, it's time for our Honda Classic update. The Honda Classic currently going on at the Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. And our Honda Classic update brought to you by PXG Golf Clubs. You can get custom fitted in Nashville at Gaylord Springs Golf Links. Visit pxg.com for more information. Currently, Alex Norlin is leading at 4-under, although Webb Simpson has tied him at 4-under, Webb Simpson through 14. And then tied for third, a handful of Americans, Morgan Hoffman at 3-under, Justin Thomas at 3-under, and Daniel Berger is at 3-under in round one of the Honda Classic. That brought to you, of course, by PXG Golf Clubs. You can get custom fitted in Nashville at Gaylord Springs Golf Links. Visit phg.com. for more information. Coming up next here on Jared and the GM, it's been the hottest topic, I think, so far in the NFL draft. And if the kid needs some advice, we're going to get it from the GM. GM, are you ready to give some advice? You look like you're ready to give some advice. He will do that next. Go ahead.
Sure.
Okay, he's going to give that advice next. Live from Bridgestone Arena, it's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.